This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert Tina Mitchell right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the December 5th show. I bring into studio each week the best of the best experts in all anything that has to do with your money in our local market right here. I'm here to help you in today's economy. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but you can always call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio right now, I have Sandy Tampa with Windermere Bellevue Commons. Sandy, thank you so much for coming back in studio. You're becoming a regular of the show, and I really appreciate it.
I love it. Thanks for having me.
And a little bit about background, if this is the first time that you've heard a conversation with Sandy and I, again, she's with Windermere Bellevue Commons. Sandy is a skilled veteran with 10 years of residential real estate experience. She is based out of Bellevue, same area as me, and primarily focuses on the east side. Sandy is highly accredited managing broker. Her credentials include accredited buyer's representative, certified residential specialist, and master certified negotiation expert. What does this mean for you? It means that she is dedicated to bring the best she can be to serve you and your referrals with the highest level of professionalism and skill possible. Sandy specializes in applying her local expertise and market knowledge to her business, experienced negotiation and cutting edge marketing strategies combined with the uncomprehensive integrity in the trademark of Sandy's service. Sandy has worked with every facet and of the industry representing sellers, buyers, and investors. And that's what we're going to kind of talk about is every aspect of the real estate market and kind of just a mix of topics here today, Sandy. And I'd like to start out for my listeners is right now a lot of people are asking, is it a good time to list your home right around before the holidays are coming in? What is your advice there, Sandy?
Well, my favorite time of the year to list is actually coming up. It's in January.
Okay.
And the reason being is that come January 1, buyers are ready to buy and sellers are ready to sell. The trick is you can't just throw a sign in your yard. You usually have about 4 to 6 weeks to prepare, you know, to declutter, clean, stage, photograph, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas buyers can just jump in their car and go come January 1 once they have that pre-approval on hand,
yes,
of course. So there's usually a lag that listings don't usually start coming on the market until early to mid-February. So if you can kind of beat the crowd, uh-huh, you're one of very few listings out there.
It makes total sense. Now, being that it is the holidays, people are might be spending a little extra money than they normally do. And if a seller is asking to maybe, I know, I am too a little bit. I try really hard every year. But now with all the online stuff, it makes it a lot more difficult to save money. But remodeling, is it necessary to remodel before putting it on the market? How do you answer that?
It's a great question. You know, I think HGTV has put the fear of selling, mm-hmm, into a lot of sellers. Remodel, especially, so, you know, my area is the east side. So I think you need to take what I say and really apply it to our marketplace.
Of course. Thank you for that disclosure.
Yeah, because mm-hmm, I think in our market, you can sell any home.
Uh-huh.
You need a deep cleaning, decluttering, and sometimes some fresh paint and cleaning up the yard, those sort of things is usually enough.
Okay.
And you're just going to have a price strategy that reflects it. You're not going to compare it to a remodeled house. You're, uh-huh, just going to price it, but it's still going to sell. And
yeah,
likely going to sell with multiple offers if you get it in good condition, market it properly, and price it correctly.
Makes sense. So really listing out maybe things that they could do if they waited or not, and then talking with an expert like yourself, you could really strategize with them and give them an idea that, you know, maybe this is what would be if you waited, but if you waited, maybe you're not going to have the same opportunity because the demand, just like you said, after the holidays, these buyers are really coming in. If you think, if you're listening right now and you're a buyer, and or you as a seller, put your buyer's hat on, because that's what I always tell, you know, people that are looking at selling, they're like, well, what a buyer's, well, put your buyer's hat on and you will know exactly how the buyers are thinking. And so when would you be buying? Would you be buying during the holidays or would you be ramping up and thinking and moving forward as soon as the new year comes in? So they could get an idea from you what it would look like waiting versus not if they had that question as well, correct?
Absolutely.
And so what other things can you share that might be a good idea for prepping and getting ready to list their home for my sellers?
Well, that's a great question too. So the, you know, simplifying is the way I try to say decluttering. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just trying to simplify as much as you can, less is more.
Yes.
Deep cleaning, which you would do that closer to the time. Fresh paint is always, that's just the easiest way to make a room look just current and
smell
fresh.
Good. Nice.
Yes.
And fresh smell.
Yes.
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 Kind of like that new car.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And yard cleanup, you know, I think it was Nicole Mangina who said that beauty bark is like duct tape for the yard. So that's a really easy
nice.
One to just make it look tight and clean. Mm-hmm. And pressure washing and window washing, those are pretty simple, but make a big impact.
Yeah, and all those small things like you said, I mean, it can make a huge impact in, you know, just the things that aren't going to take as much money, they're not going to take as much time, but will have a huge, huge impact. And you'd already said, Sandy, it's not a question of whether you're going to be able to sell your house, because the house is going to sell. The question is, are you going to get top dollar for it? And these little tiny tips are going to help to maximize that profit.
Exactly, and it's that nobody enjoys a remodel, so to remodel just to sell, that's not that intimidates most people.
Yes.
Unless they're contractors or have the inside scoop. So ideally, you would remodel today and sell in 5 to 10 years, right? So
yes.
You can enjoy that remodel.
Makes sense.
But I don't think you have to remodel to sell. I have a lot of people who just are intimidated and think that because my counters aren't brand new, I can't sell.
Exactly. Yeah. So what about for my buyers that are looking right now and considering buy a home? What should they be doing?
Right. So, you know, if they're saying 2016 is the year I'm going to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
So the very first thing, and this is totally your arena, that so I'd be curious what you think of how I counsel people on this.
Okay.
Is I say, first of all, understand your budget. What is that targeted monthly payment that you're hoping for? Because you live in the payment, not the price.
Yes.
So a lot of people actually forget what they paid for the house a few months later. It's that monthly bill. That monthly withdrawal from their bank account. And then figure out your down payment.
Mm-hmm.
And then talk to a mortgage expert like yourself. And that will all translate into a price.
Okay.
And then find a great realtor, you know,
yep.
Get a referral, look online. There's a lot of review sites online.
Uh-huh. And I think that's excellent advice. And on the financing side, I always talk payment objective or target payment, same thing, because lending is most of the time going to approve you for a higher amount than you want. And I see, you know, if you're listening and you're not in financing like I am every day, you may go, that doesn't make any sense. I thought it's hard to get a loan. It's not. So if you know that the lender is actually going to be approving you most likely, conservatively at a 45% debt to income ratio based on your gross monthly income. Most of my clients are buying more, maybe around that 35, pushing it to a 40%. So it doesn't matter what you're going to approve for, as long as you approve for what you want, but then you need to dial it back to where's your objective, where do you feel comfortable making a mortgage payment on a monthly basis. And also in that, I think it's important for your mortgage consultant to break it down and talk about really what that payment is before a deduction and after, because you don't also want to buy too low, not understanding the true benefits of that payment. And then
exactly.
The last piece on that is the budgeting with the payment, because most buyers, as you know, Sandy, you and I know it being in the industry, but don't most of the time understand that it might be an extra $50, $60 a month for $10,000 increase in price. That's huge
exactly.
In what you're going to be able to do for them. And I always just ask, what do you have to give up for $50? I know taking your spouse out for dinner is going to cost a whole heck of a lot more than that. So would it be better to cook dinner for your spouse at home or take them out for that $200 or whatever it's going to be? Because that $50 is $10,000 in price. So huge difference.
Well, that and then that same concept with if the house has deferred maintenance or needs $10,000 worth of work, there's a huge difference between coming up with $10,000 cash versus coming up with $50 a month.
Yeah. And how are you advising? Because I always say it's important in this process, since we're on this conversation right now, is to really educate and understand the difference between your loan options. What are you advising with your buyers in the loan options and what's important to understand when presenting an offer based on the program that they've chosen.
And so elaborate what you mean by loan options.
Well, so like the difference between your FHA and versus conventional. Mm-hmm. So if you have a client that qualifies for FHA, and that's the only option that's available to them, what kind of any government program, FHA or VA, or so how are you consulting with your clients on that and the difference it makes in a multiple offer scenario?
Right. So FHA is always going to be tricky in a multiple offer situation. Uh-huh. A lot of times, fortunately, the FHA product hasn't been that attractive lately, so mm-hmm. I haven't had to deal with it.
Because usually they can mortgage insurance for life loan?
Exactly. Yes. So they can usually bump up to the 5% uh-huh. conventional, but we've got to be in that FHA arena. That's mm-hmm. all about the lender, right?
Yes.
Because that's the only tool I have left.
Yes.
Is that I've got to have that lender be involved
mm-hmm.
when I present the offer, lender's right there after me.
Yes.
Calling that broker, explaining how this really isn't, because I think there's a lot of myth and emotion fears behind FHA. So uh-huh. it's really educating that listing broker on we're going to get this done. And at the end of the day, the seller is going to net the same amount of money no matter
yes.
what the buyer's loan
yeah.
program is.
Makes total sense. So where's what's your thought as far as a bubble? Are we like getting ready to hit another bubble right now?
Gosh, that's, you know, question du jour. Everybody asks
I know.
That. So yeah, you know, the one thing for sure is, so the answer is no, but in my opinion. But, you know, the markets are cyclical, right? So
yes.
to think that we're going to go at this trajectory forever is foolish.
Of course.
But, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years. So I was here during the 2007 bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels similar in the marketplace. But the difference is, and you can talk to this point, is lending's tighter. You said earlier, you said it's not hard to get a loan, but it's mm-hmm. way harder than it was in 2006.
Well, it's not breathing on a mirror, definitely.
Which you is have what to, it was in 2006.
Yes, it was. It was.
The no-doc loans
mm-hmm. yes.
and the 80-10-10s.
Yes.
And, yeah, so, and pick-a-payment loans.
Yeah.
That's not here.
Yes.
So people are getting truly qualified,
mm-hmm.
and our demand is real. We've got
yes.
companies hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I do an open house, I would say 60 to 80% of the people coming through are relocating to the area.
Yes.
And so our job growth is, so our demand for housing's growing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the millennials are coming in and
yeah.
they're bigger than the baby boomers.
Yes.
And they're forming households left and right.
Yeah. And then we have our global warming with the summers that we've had. So.
Oh my gosh. Quality
know,
of life.
It's crazy. So what about multiple offer tips, Sandy? What can you share with my buyers there?
Yeah. So multiple offers, gosh. They're still happening.
Uh-huh.
The key is, so you've got to start at the beginning. So the first step is to really understanding your strategies. I call it my multiple offer toolbox.
Uh-huh.
So you need to understand what your options are. And so you know for each house that you go into, I'm going to pull out these strategies for doing that. Because when you're writing an offer, to talk through risky strategies is just
uh-huh.
mind-blowing for
yes.
a buyer, especially the first time. And then the other key is to, and I'll get to some specifics, but the other key is also understanding as much as you can about the seller's situation
mm-hmm.
and what the seller's fears are and what the seller's goals are, so that you can know that, so you can know how to apply your buyer's strengths to that.
Makes sense.
Then you got to get into the nuances of that selling agent, that listing agent, rather, because every agent, we're all kind of quirky in our own little ways, and,
mm-hmm.
and little things mean different things to us. So you've got to try to find out, what are these sticking points? What does a good offer look like to this broker?
Got it.
So you got to do that recon, all that prep work, and then you can go into this box of tricks,
uh-huh.
so to speak. I just won one. My clients were $30,000 less than the highest offer.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
We won it, and it was because we created certainty.
Okay.
So it's about how much, how soon, and how certain.
Yes.
What we did was we released our earnest money. We released $10,000 of earnest money right at mutual acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sellers didn't want our money. They just wanted to close.
Yes.
And they were in a position where they didn't have to take the highest offer. So it was a bit of a unique situation because
uh-huh.
money is usually king, especially $30,000.
Yes.
But they just wanted that peace of mind.
Yeah.
So they know that my buyers have given up $10,000.
Yes.
So they're staying.
Yeah.
So it was that peace of mind.
That is awesome. You know, I don't know that I've ever had anybody come in and say that before, Sandy, which is, it is makes so much sense that you've got this bag of tricks for multiple offer, and you're not going to lay out all the tricks. You could never do that. But we always hear as a real estate expert, your job to communicate and really find out what's important to the seller. This is taking it to a whole nother level because you're really deciding, okay, this, and in that situation you just mentioned, I mean, there's a lot of people that have been burned where their house did, you know, their buyer fell through on this transaction or a one that they've had in the past. So knowing that and understanding, go, okay, we really want to be strong for this one because that is going to talk over cash is the, you know, strength. So I think that's just amazing advice.
So another trick that we used or strategy that we used with that same buyer where we leased the $10,000 is we were using a pretty hefty escalation clause of about 10%.
Okay.
And they wanted to target a convention, the 417 loan amount.
For the conventional conforming.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so what we did, because when you start escalating like that, the seller's concern is appraisal.
Yes.
And so since we knew that he'd be bringing that extra money to closing, that extra cash, no matter how high it went, we were able to throw that into our offer as one of our strategies that made us look even stronger and provided more certainty to that seller.
Makes total sense. And this is why it's so important to have an expert. And like any other arena, there is a very few percent that fall into that category. And so, I mean, you really, really have to strategize to get your offer accepted. If you're as a seller, being able to maximize your price is so important. Sandy, I've got to take us to a commercial, but any other quick story you want to share?
Well, I mean, those buyer letters, they work. And so that's where a buyer writes a letter and some usually includes a photo of themselves. And it what it does is it humanizes it and just helps because a house is more than a commodity. I mean, that's usually where the sellers built memories and they care about not just their house, but the community that people are buying in. So to just offer a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, makes total sense. Sandy, thank you so much for coming back in studio. It's always a pleasure and I appreciate your expertise sharing with my listeners.
Thank you, Tina.
Coming up next in the Money Hour, international buyers and the effect that it has on our market. Denise Lonis, expert to the real estate community and a well-respected for her knowledge and predictions for our local real estate market right here on 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.